Father, we come by the blood of Jesus this morning. You see the need that we have. You see the time we live in. You see the thing that is in front of us. The Bible calls it the conflagration of ages. Calls it the great tribulation. Father, we call it redemption. And Father, we want to be a people who are prepared not to run and hide, but a people who are willing and able to confront and meet this spirit of darkness, this spirit of Antichrist, this spirit of hatred and malice for those things that pertain to Jehovah Jireh. Father, we want to be a people who have the confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Word of God. And not in just the Word of God, but the Word of God that is within us. That is the place that we want to be. That is the calling and the election that you have desired for us. It is the goal that you have set for us. Father, I trust that you will work your salvation in the hearts of those who will press on, who will press up, and who will press through, and who will press into you. So, Father, we commit this meeting into your hands this morning. We commit this word into your hands this morning. We're asking for your presence. Father, I pray for my mind that it would be subjected to your thoughts, not my thoughts, not my ideas, but Father, that it would be your ideas, your thoughts. Father, I commend my emotions into your hands. Do not want to be human in my emotions, but I want you to have full and absolute control of those emotions. And Father, I want your desire to be ministered through me, Father, unto these who would be here who desire to know God. Father, I pray for the ears of those that are here this morning, that you would anoint them, that you would cause them to hear, not the syllables or the verbalization of semantics, but God, they would hear the voice of a living God. That they would hear, that voice would speak to them directly, specifically. Father, concerning the issue of life and the position or the place, hallelujah, that you have called them to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I trust the Lord will give me the strength this morning to be able to deliver the word that he has given to me. He spoke to me not yesterday, but the day before yesterday. And I have been wrestling with him, wrestling with me, and wrestling with the word. Praise the Lord. Now, my word. The word that God has given me to share this morning is for a select group, a particular group of people. It is not for everybody, because I don't know that everybody desires the fullness of God. If you do not desire the fullness of God, if you do not desire to be mentally, emotionally, in your desires, in your soul, in your body, if you do not desire completely and absolutely turned over to the jurisdiction of God, my word is not for you. It is not something you need to concern yourself with. Hallelujah. But if you have an idea or an inkling, and I hope that you do, I know where it is I want to wind up at the end of the day. I'm not satisfied with one talent. I'm not satisfied with five talents. And I'm not satisfied for 10 talents, because I think there's more in God. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied to make it into the kingdom of God. by the skin of my teeth, as my mother used to say. I'm not interested in that type of a relationship with God. I am interested in the totality of what it is I can have in God by virtue of His Word. Hallelujah. Anything outside of that will not satisfy me. It will not make me content. I will always be wanting something more of God. And one of the examples I have in respect to all of that is the situation or the story that we have concerning the sons of thunder. Hallelujah. I think it was really the mother that motivated them. Praise the Lord. And praise God for mothers that motivate their children, who encourage their children, who push their children, who teach their children, who discipline their children in the things of righteousness, and point them and push them to achieve the very best that they can get. Hallelujah. Not in the excellence of the world, not in the excellence of doing a good job as far as making money and taking care of a family, not in the sense of having grandchildren, but pushing them for the sake of the kingdom. Hallelujah. To teach them the reality of a living God. Hallelujah. So it was really basically, but if you look at it in type and shadow, I could say that possibly it would be indicative of a church. Hallelujah. A church that promotes sonship. A church that pushes for the goal of the high calling. Not a church that says, well, if you get saved, you get baptized in the water, you get baptized in the Spirit, you make it into heaven. I don't want that kind of church. I don't want to be a part of that kind of a church. I want to be a part of a body of people, hallelujah, who have the goal, who, as Leonard Ravenhill once said, had eternity stamped on the back of their eyeballs. Hallelujah. So you're not looking at things from a natural perspective. You're not looking at things on a horizontal plane, but you're always looking beyond that level of existence. You're looking to a higher level of existence. Hallelujah. And you know, it sometimes requires a great deal of dissatisfaction with what you are, a great deal of dissatisfaction of who you are, a great dissatisfaction with what you can do, and a great dissatisfaction with what you can't do. All of those things are necessary ingredients to push you to be better in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, I'm not talking about working your way into the kingdom, although there is a work in the Spirit that one has to do in order to obtain. Praise the Lord. You are required to put something down. You are required to expend something out of your resources. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a position, there is a place. You know, James was one who believed in works, and he believed in works by faith. Hallelujah. And it's a principle in the Word of God. Sometimes we have the idea of Christianity that when we get saved and we made it into heaven, it's a smooth road all the way into eternity. Well, praise the Lord. But I don't want to have that smooth road if that smooth road does not bring me to the position or the place of excellence that God is looking and expecting me to have. Hallelujah. So I'm not the word that God has given me, the word that is being brought to me in this hour, this time, not just for you alone, but more particularly for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is a word I suppose you might call it a hard word. I don't know if I like the terminology hard word. Praise the Lord. Not if a hard word brings you to a position or a place of deliverance. Hallelujah. You know, it says that God chastises us. But it says the chastisement at the time of chastising is not a pleasant thing. It is not something we enjoy. But it's to bring forth what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hello? So chastisement is absolutely necessary. Paul was one who chastised himself. He says, I'm always bringing my body. Huh? Under subjection, bringing his body. That means there were things in Paul that wanted to assert and to and have preeminence and was pushing Paul to do or be something other than what the Lord wanted Paul to be. And Paul had to fight. Hallelujah. Paul had to fight. Paul had to fight his mind. Paul had to fight his emotion. Paul had to fight his desires. Hello? Hallelujah. And he had family. He had position. He had prestige. He had money. He had all of the things that you could have. And he was excelling in excellence as far as the word that was given to Moses was concerned. He said that concerning the word, I am blameless. Huh? That's what he said. And it was recorded in the Bible that you and I might know the man was living in accordance to the creed or the ordinance that was given to him by God, and there was something of a stamp of God's approval on him. Hallelujah. And he traded it all in. He traded it all in. The man could have been dressed in purple. He could have been wearing silk gowns and had the fine shoes and all of the good food. You understand what I'm saying? But he traded it in. He traded it in. Hallelujah. And he said to us, follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. We are so far back and so far away from that. Hallelujah. So, please, if you don't get angry with me. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking just to you. I'm talking as much to myself as not more. Concerning this position, concerning this place of excellence that God has called us to. Hallelujah. You are gathered here because of a particular word. You are come today because of a particular thought or idea or concept or creed that is in a particular word. Is that not right? It is not just a word of baptism. It's not it's not just a word of salvation. If you had just a word of salvation, you wouldn't be here. You would be in the Baptist church. You would be in the Methodist church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you would probably be happy. I don't know. But that's not the word that you have. You've come because of a particular word. Hallelujah. And that particular word has a particular demand, and it's demanding everything. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And you know, we have been here before. There was a thought earlier that was expressed. You know, we come together and we run into the same problem over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's the fact that we have not progressed beyond a certain point with regards to our position and place and calling and election. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean you're not doing good things. Praise the Lord for the good things. But the good things isn't to what you have been called. The good things should be a manifestation of you going on. It should come because of your moving forward and into a position or place of greater relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a word that was brought the other night concerning the fear of God. How many of you went to the Bible and began to look up the fear of God? Did any of you take the time to do it? Any of you? So why did we bring the word? Huh? Why do we bring the word? Why do we waste our time if you are not going to take the word and dig into it? I went into the Bible. I began to look up the fear of God. You know, it's like 7 or 8 times it talks about the fear of God doing such and 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 such. But it's all based on the fear of God. And I have come to a realization. I look at my life and what it's supposed to produce. The fear of God is supposed to produce. And I find out I don't fear God. Because it's not producing that fruit. So I have to ask God, God, I want your fear. And I don't ask it lightly. Hello? I don't ask it lightly because I know there is a cost involved in it. In order for me to understand it, sometimes I have to experience it. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we're wasting time. And time is something that is so valuable and so absolutely critical to us as a people.
I appreciate time so much more now. But you don't have to wait to get as old as I do in order to understand the value of time. Hallelujah. We're squandering our time like the rich man, like the prodigal son who got his inheritance and he went out and squandered it in the world. Oh, he made it back home, all right, praise the Lord. But he did not have the position of the son. When the elder brother complained, what did the father say? He said, son, don't you know that everything I have is yours? But this your son who was lost, this your brother who was lost is now home, safe and sound. He did not share in the inheritance of the firstborn. And now I don't know how that equates in the kingdom of God, but what I do know, I want to share in the inheritance of the firstborn. I don't want to come at the end of the day, at the end of my journey, at the end of my race, and shoulda, woulda, coulda, but didn't. Hallelujah. So there's a required upon me. There's a required upon me, not because God is demanding it of me, because I want something in God that God is offering and putting on the table and saying it is something that I can have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can continue on doing your thing. Hello? You continue on doing your thing until the hammer comes down. And hammer is coming down, brethren. Hallelujah. Hammer is coming down. Hammer is coming down. And there was something that was said the other night. It is not governments or strength or power that is going to stop the flood of darkness that is spreading over the land. The pillage and the persecution and the killing and the slaughtering of innocents. That governments and strength of power, armies are not going to stop it. It's going to be the sons of God. It's going to be those who have paid the price. Their life is no longer of any value. That's why they can lay them on the line. They have nothing in this world. They are no longer attached to the things of this world. That's what gave the disciples. What changed a man like Peter, who would desert another man who was being crucified and make him run out into the bush? Huh? And that same man would turn around at the end of the day. Turn around at the end of the day and say, I cannot die like my Christ died. Huh? And they say that they crucified him upside down. I don't know whether it did on it, but it's a good idea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They all found a reality. Every one of them fled in the garden. Every one of them fled. But somehow, somewhere in the midst, there was a move and there was a repentance that came to them individually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when that repentance came, they girded themselves up as valiant men and they went out and died. Hallelujah. Why? Because they have dealt with the attachments. There was a word that was prophesied over them by the Lord. And it's a word that was prophesied, that is being prophesied over us. And it's found in John chapter 17. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. He says, I have given them thy word. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's quite a statement for the Son of Man, so the Son of God to say. He was equating them to him and his status. Hello? Hallelujah. I haven't reached there yet. Hallelujah. But that's no excuse for me not trying to reach there. That's no excuse for me not pressing. I look at this face in the mirror. Hallelujah. I don't want to see my father. I don't want to see my mother. I don't want to see anybody but God. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to, I want to turn back over here to Joshua. So my word that I'm bringing to you today, I should say the word that the Lord has spoke to me, Hallelujah. It's a word for a particular people. If you're not in that people, brother, God bless you. Hallelujah. It's not my business. But if you're in that, and if you're in that category of people, if you want to be that, have that, what do they call it? A classification. Huh? Hallelujah. When you went to go to sign up for the army, they had an A class, B class, C class, and then they had a 4F class. Hallelujah. I want to be the A classification. My word is for a particular people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, but the children of chapter 7. 7 is the number of perfection. Hallelujah. And I think it was Brother Barry who said yesterday, as he was reading the account of Noah, wasn't it Noah? And he said they weren't dealing. And he was talking about the generation and the position or the place of the condition of that world. And he turned around, he stopped, and he said, that is not talking about then, that is talking about now. Hallelujah. How many of you believe in the now scripture? How many of you believe the reality of the Old Testament is the reality of the New Testament in our position in our walk with God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're dealing with perfection, but there was a problem here in them achieving it. The Israelites, let me give you a little background here. The Israelites had just come from over Jordan there. So they had come through Jordan, which is symbolic of death and baptism. And they had gone in and they just now smote Jericho. What a tremendous victory. They're all hollering and shouting and jumping and dancing, huh? They're confident, cocky almost, you understand. Hallelujah. And they come now to do and deal with the city of Ai. Huh? They come now to deal with the city of Ai. And they go up there. He sends two guys up there to look and to see what the... And they say, oh, this is easy. This is a piece of cake. Huh? This is a piece of cake. Oh, don't you think, oh boy, we've made it now. Huh? We really made it now. We got the blood. We got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We got the revelation of sonship. And we are working in the midst of our circumstances. God is prospering us. We're sending our kids to school. We're buying cars. We got good clothes. We're eating good food. And we get to take holidays. Oh boy, this is fun. Hallelujah. Fun's over. Hallelujah. Fun's over. Fun's over. Did you? Fun is over. Hallelujah. You better be careful how you say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to just go back maybe just a little bit. Let's go ahead here. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the children of Israel committed a trespass. You know, sometimes we do things and we think we got away with it. Huh? Sometimes we do things and we think we got away with it. You know, when this man did what he didn't think anybody was looking. But he had somebody looking who had seven eyes searching the whole earth. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, God knows what's in your mind. Do you know that? Hallelujah. He knows what's in your mind. And you know how he proved it to me the other day? I was coming into Port Harcourt. You know, the thought was in my mind. It wasn't a serious thought, a serious thought, the thinking, I'm going to do this and that. But I wanted to get a phone card when I came in. And sometimes that's difficult to do. You're in a hurry to get from one place to another. But I wanted to get a phone card. I didn't say a word. I just had a fleeting thought. I'll be sure to get one on the way to camp, maybe. And I get off the plane, and lo and behold, when I get through customs and all of that, and I'm coming out, they got this little table. Huh? Right there, and they're giving away phone cards. God knew what was in my mind. I never seen the phone card there before. I never seen that table. And for Nigeria to give something away free? That's unheard of. And I kept asking, what is this going to cost me? Nothing. I said, what? I said, no, what is it going to cost me? Nothing. Huh? Hallelujah. So God knows what's in your mind. God knows what's in your mind, brother. God knows what's in your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so He's not just going to be judging us by the acts that we do. He's going to be judging us by the thoughts that we think. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think if we suppress the thing or we just keep it down inside of our brain, we'll be all right if we act the right way. Hallelujah. Well, that's all right if you're trying to deliver yourself from a certain malady or certain habit, but it's not all right if you're not moving under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it says the children of Israel committed a trespass. Brethren, did you hear it? The children of Israel. Huh? Not a child of Israel. Not one man of Israel. Why did He bring judgment on all of Israel? Why? Because they should be moving as one man. They should be moving as one man under one head. Hello? Hallelujah. And there should have been the spirit of discernment. You know, they had prophets. They had visionaries. They had all of the accoutrements of the church working. Hallelujah. You know, the problem with us sometimes is that we don't know what is happening. Why? Because we're so busy. We're so absolutely busy in living. We're so tied up in family. We're so tied up in work. We're so tied up in politics. We're so tied up in news and all of the attributes that are going on around us. We're so tied up in it. We're bogged down, wrestled up, and hogtied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the church should be operating. Do you understand that? There should be a spirit of discernment that is working. When the devil begins to move against any member, any portion of the body, there should be an alert that is going off somewhere in the body. Hallelujah. When my body hurts somewhere, the rest of my body responds to it. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes you don't know what's wrong. You just feel uncomfortable. You can't get yourself in a position to relax, and something's bugging. You get up, you try to lay down, and it doesn't work. You get up and you walk around. There's something going on in your body. Do you understand it? We should be sensitive in that manner, in that fashion, at least that sensitive. Hallelujah. But we are not. We are not. And you know, we always have an opinion of something. We always have an opinion of something. We always have an opinion of something. If something happens, we have an opinion. If something goes over here, we have an opinion. Something over that, we have an opinion. We always have an opinion. It's good to have an opinion, but if your opinion is not the opinion of God, it's the wrong opinion. And you can't have God's opinion unless you are in a position walking and talking and doing what God asks you to do. If you're not doing what God asks you to do, there's something going on that disrupts the communication between you and God. Hallelujah. You know, I can take my phone and put it up and I got a signal and I walk over here and the signal is gone. That's the way it is in the spirit. We move in a certain arena, in a certain environment, in the Spirit of God, like this environment right here. You know, this kind of conducive to that type of flowing. Usually, but when you bring sin into it, it hampers God. Because God can't coexist with sin. Did you hear me, brethren? God cannot coexist with sin. God will not share space with darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's a problem. There's a problem here. There's a problem here. I have been here when the Spirit has moved and you all were flowing and you were getting up higher. And in fact, it was the last camp meeting that we were at. Higher and higher and higher. Heaven was coming down. Heaven is not coming down. I don't care how much you yell, stamp, shout, praise the Lord, clap, dance. Sing, you can, or rebuke, you can rebuke till your lips fall off. One of our grandsons, our grandchild, used to say, puke, 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 grandpa. there's a level, a higher standard that God has now given to us as a people and is expecting you and I to walk in it. Brethren, let me tell you what the Lord is telling me. We are coming into the dispensation of Ananias and Sapphira. And I say, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We are coming into the dispensation of Ananias and Sapphira. You know what the sin of Ananias and Sapphira was? They said they were giving all, and they were only giving a portion. And it says, was it not yours to keep when you had it in your possession? But now you come saying you are giving all, but you're holding back that portion. So it was all right if they would have said they were holding back a portion. But they weren't saying that. What are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, you say, you sing it. We sang a song there this morning about submission and a position of total of God, totally. Oh, what was that first song we sang? I never heard it before. Breath of God. Yeah, put the words back up there, would you please? We were singing that song, Breath of God. Do you expect God to breathe into you when you are sitting in your stubbornness and rebellion and your position of resistance against the move of God in your home, in your life, in your soul? Do you really expect God to breathe upon you? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Breath of God, breathe upon me. Breathe, O God, breath of God upon me. Sweet Spirit of Lord, for as I lift my hands in surrender. Oh God, help us. What have you surrendered? A little bit of time, a little bit of money, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. What have you surrendered? This song is talking about everything. Isn't it talking about everything? Or am I mistaken? Maybe that doesn't say that. I'm yielding. I'm yielding to your what? I'm yielding to your smile. I'm walking in your love. Come on, give me a break. You know, we should have stopped singing the song and started repenting right then and there. We should have started saying, oh God, forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me for my lack of love. Forgive me for my unsurrendering spirit, my stubborn. Hallelujah. I don't know that Nigerians have problem with being stubborn, do they? Huh? Nobody wants to answer me? Well, I know you do. You can be stubborn and you can be tenacious. Huh? Be stubborn for God. Be stubborn in resisting your stubbornness. Be stubborn in resisting your position of strength and tenacity to exert your position of will over a circumstance or a situation. You know, we don't know God. We don't know God, therefore we can't trust God. We have to work at it. Hallelujah. Oh, here we are. This is the word. This word is that is coming to us. It's not a word that Joshua was speaking for the time frame he was living in. He was prophesying. It was a prophetic word. Hallelujah. He says, the children of Israel committed a trespass. So it doesn't really... Oh, you can see somebody that falls into sin and say, oh my God, how could they do that? Whoa, wow, how bad is that? Woo, I don't know how they could ever do that. Oh my goodness. Huh? You're guilty. You're guilty. Don't look at you as an individual. Not under the auspices of this word. Now, if you're in the Baptist church, it might be different. If you're in the Pentecostal church, it might be distant. And under this word, it is also very, very different. And God looks at you entirely different. And He expects more. Do you hear me? God expects more from me. Hallelujah. And that's the attitude I have to have. God is expecting more from me than He's expecting from you. Well, that's the only way I can look at it. Do you understand that? If I look at it that way, then I'm going to do all I can, every bit of my being and fiber moving in a manner and fashion to do what it takes to bring me to a place that I am acceptable in the eyes of God. Makes no difference what you do. Hallelujah. My hope is in the doing of it. It will bring a release and deliverance to those that are around me. Hallelujah. And you know, that's another thing. You know, I have some children who are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But you know that the Bible says that if I fear the Lord, you know, God will take care of my children. You know that's what the Bible says? Huh? It says, if I fear the Lord, He will take care of my children. He will move in my children's life. Do you hear me? And that's not just my natural children. I have spiritual children. Some of the children I have, they don't even know that they're my children. But they're my children by spiritual adoption. And I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them. And I go to God on their behalf, not as an individual or a part of a piece of the body, but I go to them as a spiritual father, inquiring and petitioning God for their benefit. Huh? Loose! Loose! Hallelujah! 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 We have not even got beyond the position of familiarity and our family ties. Hallelujah. But you know, brethren, there was a situation here a while back where somebody's family, one of the family members was in trouble, but in the same time, one of the children of God was in trouble. And it required the attention of one person. What is he going to do? What is he going to decide to do? Huh? Is he going to stop the business of God and go and tend to his child? Is that what he's going to do? Well, you might think so in a human perspective. Hallelujah. But in God's perspective, that don't work. In God's perspective, that child that is born again, washed in the blood, is every bit more the Son of God than that child that is out there that is not the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you don't think it's a hard decision to make, you're wrong. You have to deal with your mind. You have to deal with your emotion. You have to deal with that familiarity of attachment and that bonding that is there. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God he made the right decision. He went and took care of the body. He went and took care of the Christian brother. Hallelujah. And you know what God did for him? He delivered the member of his family. Without him. Hallelujah. Delivered him. Delivered him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God is faithful. God is so absolutely faithful. Brother Duciel used to say, God called him. God says, you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. And he always said, if my business is in a mess, that's God's business. Hallelujah. That's a philosophy that you have to have. Hallelujah. But you have to know God. You have to know you have to have the awareness of who and what God is. Oh, hallelujah. It says the children of Israel committed a trespass in an accursed thing. Hallelujah. Accursed thing. Hallelujah. It is comes from a Hebrew word, H-E-R-E-M. It's got that little thing over the E. Hallelujah. It means figurative, usually a doomed object. It also abstractly means extermination. Hallelujah. Curse, dedicated things that should have been utterly destroyed. Come on, listen to it. Things that should have been what? Utterly destroyed. Huh? Utterly destroyed. Well, you can almost say categorically, humanism, in all of the ramifications of humanism, hello, hallelujah, are accursed things. I'm not talking about the mind of Christ, I'm talking about the mind of flesh. What does Romans 8:1 say? Huh? There is what? Now, no condemnation to what? To them that what? Walk. How they walk? Huh?
not after the flesh. Not just talking about a body flesh. Because you go down a couple of verses, it begins to talk about this thing in your head called a brain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God is going now from the outside to the inside. Now, God is beginning to dig deep into the temple of God. You remember the prophet? And he said, God said, come, I want to show you what the house of Israel is doing. He didn't dig into the outer court. He dug into the holy place. He dug into the holy of holies. Hello? Hallelujah. And what was there? Image of jealousy. They had the idols of God set up all around in that holy place. That's the holy place church. Oh, that's just history. God's just giving us a history lesson. You can believe that if you want to, but I believe this is a living word. Hallelujah. It says he has this accursed thing. Now I have to stop. I have to stop. I have to now stop. Do you hear me? I have to now stop. I have a word concerning an accursed thing, and I have to begin to examine my life. I have to say to God, God, put me under a microscope and let me see it. That's my responsibility concerning the Word of God. You know, when I come and I want to bring you a word, hallelujah, God gave me a particular calling, a particular position of election. He said, you get up, I'll fill your mouth. Hello? You know, I have to go back. I have to go back and listen to what I said. I have to verify that that is actually the truth. Because there's some things I'm telling you that I have no thought of previously. Hello? I have no thought in shaping or forming it. I was going to go a different direction this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God knows where the sore is. God knows how to put his finger on it. Hallelujah. If there's no pain, there's no healing. Did you hear me? If there's no pain, there's no healing. Hallelujah. I remember we prayed for a man who had a grievous wound upon his body. And the funny thing about the wound is the wound didn't hurt him at all. And it was almost like a wound down to the bone. Red and raw. Hello. Hallelujah. And it didn't hurt him. He could touch it. He could feel it. Hallelujah. And we began to pray for the man. Because we understood what was going on. We began to come with the blood of Jesus Christ against that perpetration of witchcraft against him. Hello? I saw a snake come out of his leg. Hallelujah. And when that snake came out of his leg, the man screamed in pain. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was under a deceptive spirit concerning the wound. And the wound was killing him. And he thought he was healing because he had no pain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't like pain. Oh my God. The whole pharmaceutical community is built on the absence of pain. Eliminating pain. Hallelujah. You got a headache, you take an aspirin. Huh? You got this malady, you take that drug. You got this malady, you take this drug. You got this problem, you take this. If you're hyper, you take a drug that'll get you down. If you're depressed, you take a drug to get you up. Hallelujah. We're druggies. We're druggies. And we don't believe in the reality of God. He says, by his stripes we are healed. Now you can play it all day long until your lips turn blue. But if you don't have that reality, if you don't have that connection, it's not going to work. You might as well go take your drug. I was in a congregation one time, and there was this woman who I knew personally. And I knew the situation by the Spirit. And I knew that the devil was out to kill her. And she was going to the doctor, and the doctor didn't really know too much what was wrong, so he was experimenting. Huh? Did doctors experiment? He was experimenting on her. Well,
She had been prayed for, but nothing was happening. She was just getting worse. And there was a dream she had that she was going to die. She didn't know that that's what the dream said, but I knew what the dream said. And I didn't tell her she was going to die. I just knew that she was going to die. Hallelujah. Well, one day there was a lady that came to the fellowship from... where was she from? I'd been there. She was from Uganda, I think. Isn't that where they had the Tutsis and all of that being? Rwanda, that's where she was from. She was from Rwanda. We had helped her and her family get out of the Rwanda. Hallelujah. She came to meeting that one day, happened to be there. She looked right at the woman's eyes and says, take your medicine and die. Or believe God and throw your medicine away. That's all she said. We all went, Hallelujah. Well, thank God the woman didn't go, She just threw her medicine in the trash can. And she's alive today. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, God is merciful in some situations, but in some situations, God will not be so tolerant. I don't believe He's going to be that tolerant with me. Maybe He'll be that tolerant with you, but I don't believe He's going to be that tolerant with me. There is no tolerance in me and with me and God. If I step out of the line one little bit, He lets me know about it right away. Hallelujah. 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 So we are here with Achan. Hallelujah. He says, a trespass of the accursed thing. And the thing was that he got the spoil that he got in the last victory that was given to them. And God waited till the next time they had to confront an enemy before he revealed the truth of it. And he took them to the woodshed. They got their backsides blistered. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, well, I have this loving God. He doesn't... Oh, come on, brethren. Hallelujah. You know what Achan means? Do you know what it means? Huh? It means troublemaker. One who troubles. Achan means one who troubles. So we have a spirit of Achan. We have a spirit of Achan that is working in the context of religion. We have a spirit called Achan. One who troubles. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. He identifies. He identifies where this spirit is working. He says here, for Achan the son of Carmi. You know what Carmi means? You know what it means? Don't look at the baby. Just look over here. Hallelujah. Babies are doing their baby things. That's all right. Hallelujah. You know what Carmen means? Garden or vineyard. So you have a troublemaker in the garden or in the vineyard. Huh? Hallelujah. And not only does that, he goes on to say, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi? Huh? You know what Zabdi means? It means endowment. Endowment. An endowment is like an inheritance. Hello? Come on, brother, and you're looking at me strange. Hallelujah. 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 So you have Achan the troublemaker in a garden that was given as an endowment. Huh? Hallelujah. And not only that, but he is the son of Zerah. Huh? Zerah. And you have to go to the word that it comes from. It means rising light. Dawning or shining. Come on. Does that take a lot of interpretation? What is God saying? He's saying that in the Holy Place Church, there is a spirit of Achan that is working against the inheritance that has been given to God. It's the vineyard of God, do you understand? That has been given to God's people. To what? To come against the light.
wants to destroy, wants to suppress, wants to totally black it out. Hallelujah. And we are not discerning it. We are not discerning it. Oh, don't look at somebody and say, oh, he's got the spirit of Achan now. No, I suggest you go home and look in the mirror and see if you can find Achan. I suggest you go home and you look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Not in the mirror that's on your wall in the bathroom, but the mirror that is the Word of God. Huh? Hallelujah. What does it say about a man who looks in the mirror and forgets? Huh? I don't want to be a man that forgets. I don't want to leave here today, get back on my plane, go back into my my routine of habit and virtual routine that does not produce godliness. I want to produce godliness. I want you to produce godliness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he was of the tribe of Judah. Wasn't a Levite? Huh? Wasn't a Reubenite? He was of the tribe of Judah. Judah is the tribe to which the inheritance and the position of rulership of that position of authority was passed. Huh? Unto a man called David. Hallelujah. So he's talking about the holy place church. Talking about me. Can I say you and you don't get mad at me? He's talking about me. He's talking about all of you. Well, if you don't fit the shoe, don't try to put it on. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have a problem. Brethren, God wants to deal with a problem. And it's not a problem you're going to fix by just getting up here and coming and saying, I repent. You know, my children would say to me, they'd get caught red-handed with their hand in the cookie jar. Huh? That's metaphorical, by the way. Get had red caught. Oh, Father, I'm so dad. Oh, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, 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 sorry. But that didn't stop me from giving them Bible. Hallelujah. And then on I say, oh, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I will never do it again. I will never do it again. I said, son, don't tell me you're sorry. Show me you're sorry. Amen. And we will never have this discussion again. Hallelujah. At least not on this subject. Huh? Hallelujah. God is scrutinizing me. Do you understand that? He's scrutinizing. I get up here and I make all this stuff and I say all these things. And I don't even know what I'm saying. But yet when I go home, he holds me accountable. Holds me accountable. Do you hear me, brethren? He holds my nose to the grindstone. Hallelujah. 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 And it says, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I think God is mad at us. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Brethren, we have all kinds of maladies. We got cancer. We got depression. We got this ailment. This thing's not working. That thing's working. We got hip replacements, knee replacements, toe replacements, finger replacements, shoulder replacements, heart transplants, lung transplants. We got all kinds of ailments. And we are supposed to be overcomers. We are supposed to be walking in the reality of God. Hallelujah. God is bringing a message. God is bringing a word. And he's trying his utmost best to get us to respond in a proper way. I do not know how much more time we have got. Brethren, I don't know. I am learning something. I am learning to live unto a day. I'm learning that. I'm trying to learn that. I'm not trying to plan out there in the future.
Oh, you make this prayer and that prayer. But God knows my heart. I lay my head down on the bed at night and I'm thinking, oh God, if it be your will for me to wake up in the morning, I will be satisfied with your goodness. I don't know when I lay my head down that I'm going to wake up in the morning. Hallelujah. So, you know, when the Bible talks about, not letting the sun go down on your wrath, is it your anger or your wrath? Huh? Why does he say that? Because you don't know whether you're going to die in an angry man. God, you don't know that. You don't know it. You don't know. Why should I think, oh, I got tomorrow to live? I don't know whether I got tomorrow to live. I get on a plane these days, and I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't. I don't know whether I'm coming. I hope I'm coming back. I got a round-trip ticket. But I don't know. I'm not presumptuous enough to think that I have it under my control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And especially when so many people are trying to prophesy me dead. Oh yes, they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, brethren, we take things so much for granted. I think you said that last night. Didn't you say that last night? We take life so much for granted. Hallelujah. Brother Duzil told the story of a man. Hallelujah. Who was a preacher, but he was not saved. And he tried to witness to the man about being saved. And the man said, No, I can be saved anytime. I can be saved anytime. God, give me 2 minutes. I can be saved. The man was afflicted. He went into the hospital. Hallelujah. And he was dying, and God gave him 3 minutes, and he did not repent. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. Now, you can't get up and do all these miracles and things on my say-so. You have to have the unction. You have to have the motivation of the Spirit. You have to have the reality of God. And you have to be moving toward God in that way, in a manner that pleases God. God's not going to move for me if I'm not pleasing Him. Well, maybe I'm different. Maybe God just puts me on a tightrope that nobody else is on. But I have to testify to you of that tightrope. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I want to now see, this was all hidden. Nobody knew what was going on. But we know the story, right? Let's just read a little bit here. They were full of themselves. So Joshua sent, verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side, Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. All of that would have a meaning, I suppose, but I'm not going to go in there because God's not telling me anything. And when the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, oh, let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000, men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but a few. Easy target. It turned out an entirely different episode. Hallelujah. Now listen here. What happened then? They were thrashed. I could say thrashed royally. They were thrashed royally. Hallelujah. And Joshua, oh boy, this is so much like us, rent his clothes. Oh, he get into a situation and oh my God, rent. Hallelujah. And fell to the earth up on his face before the ark of the Lord. You know, this is so apropos to the holy place people. Joshua is the conqueror. He is the leader of the overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their head. And Joshua says, "Alas, O Lord God." And you know, he blames it all on the Lord. Have you ever done that? Oh God, why did you let this happen? Oh God, why did you do that? Oh God, this, that, 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 this, that, that. Instead of looking in the mirror and say, "I'm guilty." Hallelujah. When David sinned with Bathsheba, hallelujah. When he was enticed with his eyes, hallelujah. And it brought forth lust, and lust brought forth death. Hallelujah. And when the prophet came to that man and began to tell him this little story, and oh, David got up in his righteous indignation. Hallelujah. Because he said he had a right to do it. He's king. At that point, he had no remorse. It was a subtle incident. Do you understand? He had taken care of the problem. He had Joab go out and murder the man. He had taken care of the problem. So it was behind him. How many times do we think we have taken the care of the problem? It's hid. It's done. It's fitting. It's hidden in the corner. Nobody can see it. Nobody knows about it but me. Oh no, God knows. God knows. And because you are who you are. You know, David is a type of the sons of God. He's the emblem of God in that capacity of sonship. It said of David, "Your throne, what, shall be forever." He's not talking about David in the natural. He's talking about David as the son of man who is the son of God. He says, "I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David." Huh? What's that mean? You are that tabernacle. I am that tabernacle. Hello? Oh boy. Am I putting you to sleep? Are you sure? Hallelujah. Am I giving you a pain? Yeah, good pain. Hallelujah. So David thought he had it all covered. He thought he had the insurance done. It was done, fixed for good. Not going to bother him again. But God was faithful to David. He knew the stigma that it had created. And the problem that it did not only create for David, but for David's progeny after the Spirit. So God had to deal with David. He had to deal with him in righteousness. And so the prophet comes to David and tells him this little scenario. And David gets up in his righteous indignation and says, "Tell me who the man is. And I will fix it. I will take care of it." Oh, he's going to take care of it, all right. But when God pointed the finger in David's eyes, said, "You are the man." Now, you know, brethren, I don't know what the relationship was between the prophet and David. It may have been a pretty close relationship, but David was king. He had just killed a man. He had just murdered a man for his wife. Did you hear me? He just murdered a man for his wife. And this two-bit prophet comes and points a finger into his face. He could have just snapped his fingers and that man would have been dead. Hallelujah. But David did not rend his garment. He rent his heart and went down on his face before the prophet. Down on his face before the Word of God. It says, "I am guilty! I am guilty! God, restore my righteousness." Loose. Did you hear it? God, restore my righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank God we have a restorative God. Hallelujah. But it came at a cost. Huh? It came at a cost. And God's arm was not short and reaping that cost to the very last soul. Hello? Hallelujah. And every soul that perished was an arrow in David's heart because the man was a shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do not believe that you can be in the work of God and in the ministry and not have a shepherd's heart. You may not be called as a shepherd, but you have to have a shepherd's heart. God has to work that fabric of the shepherd into your being. So that when you look upon the sheep and it's got a broken leg, you are willing to carry it. If it's near death or dying, you're willing to take it to your bosom and try to nurture it and nurse it and cuddle it and talk to it and bring it back to a place of health and restoration. You will even leave the 99 to go and look for the one that is lost. Loose! And brethren, if you think it's just ministry that needs a shepherd heart, you are sorely mistaken. The Sun Company is a company of shepherd heart people. Loose! My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God exacted his toll. And David did not whine. He did not cry. He went down begging God and pleading for mercy for his sheep. Hallelujah. 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 Let us go on down. It says, alas, O God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan? Oh, he was so good to do, rehearse the history, wasn't he? Oh, God, you're so good. You saved my soul. You filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have given me a word of sonship. Oh, God, you are so good. How could you do this to me? Where are you, God? Have you ever... God, where are you? Huh? I remember going down in the dark one time. It was pitch black, and I'm looking up to the... God, where are you? Huh? Of course, I had to repent. Where are you, God? Have you said it? Huh? You know, Brother DeSille told me, never ask God why. Then never ask God why. Why would you ask God why when the God knows what he's doing? Does that mean I have to know what God is doing? No, I don't have to know. If God wants me to know something about something, God is going to tell it to me. Hello? And if God is not telling me, don't tell me. If it's not God talking to you to talk to me, don't talk to me. Not in that way, not in that fashion. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to listen. We got itching ears, you know. Itching ears. Somebody comes and starts whispering, did you know that so-and-so blah, 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 did this and blah, 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 did and you, really? Really? Oh, my goodness. Really? You're guilty. You're guilty, 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 guilty. And you have disqualified yourself. You have just disqualified yourself from the Sun Company. And you have to repent. And you have to work it out with God to get back into that position of good standing. Loose! Hallelujah. 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 Now he says there, He says here, you brought them over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites. To destroy us, would to God we had content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. Can you imagine that? Huh? Oh, I probably would have been much better off in the Baptist church. I probably would have been much better off out there in that Pentecostal realm. You know, we had a lot more fun in the full gospel businessmen than I do here. Huh? Oh, I don't want to belong to this fellowship anymore. No fire. Oh, accusation, condemnation, lack of love. I don't want to belong to this fellowship anymore. Huh? All right, you don't have to. Go. Leave. Hallelujah. It would be better for you to leave than to stay there and be a disruptor. It would be better for you to leave than to be an Achan. Hallelujah. We have not even, as sons of God, learned how to bridle our tongue. We haven't learned it. We haven't learned it. Haven't learned it. I think I said it the other night. I have this thing I do when I'm going to say something. I bite my tongue. And if you bite it hard enough, it hurts. And you know, sometimes I'm talking and I bite myself. I'll bite myself and I get quickened. I get quickened. I need to shut up. I need to shut up. I need to shut up. Hallelujah. We were in a conversation one time and I bit myself and all of a sudden I just went silent. And the other person's kind of looking at me. Are you listening to me? And I go, mm-mm. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? We are turning our backs. We are turning our backs. We're turning our backs against the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, you would think that God would be a little more kinder, wouldn't you? You think God would be a little, after all, it was all his fault. He did all of this. He had created the whole scenario. He told him to go up and smite Ai. Huh? Hallelujah. You think he'd be a little compassionate, right? Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up! Oh, he probably said, oh, come on, Joshua, get up. I had a problem. As a young Christian, I drank coffee. And I drank a lot of coffee. And I'm just telling you, I'm not cutting into your coffee. I'm just telling you my experience. I drank a lot of coffee. And the Lord was dealing with me over about 2 years to stop drinking coffee. But I did not want to stop drinking coffee. I like coffee. I like the smell of it. Oh, that aroma. You cook it in the morning and it's going blah, 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 blah. And then you smell that coffee and you just come down the stairs, you know. I like my coffee. I love my coffee. I was possessed with my coffee. Huh? I did not want to give my coffee up. And he dealt with me for 2 years. And one day I was in a meeting. And it was between meetings. And I was in this auditorium by myself. And I hear this door open and close. It had a wooden floor that was over a cellar, so you could hear the footprints, the footsteps very loud, walking down. And when it happened, I knew it was the Lord. You know how you get that feeling of terror? I mean, this feeling of terror. The closer he got to me, the more scared I became. He walked in the row behind me. I never turned around. Never turned around. I had no desire to turn around. Because I knew he was there for a specific reason and I was in trouble.
And he just sat there, and I'm kind of got my Bible there, flipping through it, you know, trying to seem spiritual. He reaches up. He's sitting at a kind of at an angle, and he reaches up and he goes. And he kind of leans. He kind of just leans over into my ear and he says, "I am not going to tell you again." He didn't say what. I knew what. I knew what. I knew what he was talking. He was talking about that little old harmful thing called coffee. That little beverage that is nothing, you know. It's legal. You can drink as much of it as you want to. It's absolutely legal. There's nothing about it that's illegal. Except God told me to stop drinking it. Hallelujah. You know, I did not waste any time. I cut it off. Like that. And when I went home, I was fasting and I was praying and I was crying out to God that I was sicker than a dog. I think I was sweating coffee. Hallelujah. But I'm alive today. Do you hear me? I'm alive today. Had I not done what I did, I would not be alive today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, God tells him to get up. Get up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. Hallelujah. So God was going to the heart of the matter. God is going to the heart of the matter, brethren. God is going down to the heart of the matter. Hallelujah. I want to go down into verse 11. Israel has said and hath also transgressed. Not only did they sin, but they transgressed. My covenant, my covenant, my covenant. What covenant are you under? If we be buried with him in baptism, we are what? Like as Christ was raised from the dead, we what? Now walk in the newness of life. Are you walking in the newness of life? To the totality and the fullness of that life? Or are you still part God and part Nigerian? Huh? Are you still Nigerian and have your tribal affiliation? How much sway over you does it have? How much authority over you does it have? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are dealing with spiritual facts. We are dealing with a spiritual malady that is creating the deadness in the midst of your being, in the midst of your congregation. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can go on. You can just throw it all in the trash can if you want to. That's up to you. You can go on and just keep doing your thing. But you will miss the calling and the election of being the son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to drop down. Hallelujah. I want to drop down. Let's go down here to verse 12. Therefore the children, this is verse 12, of Israel could not stand before their enemies. You cannot stand before your enemies. But turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. One man perpetrated one act of disobedience and transgression and all of Israel suffered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe in body? Do you believe in it? Maybe you don't. Well, when one part of the body suffers, what happens? The whole body suffers. Hallelujah. 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 So he says, up and sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of Israel, amidst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until ye take away that cursed thing from among you. We will not be able to stand the onslaught of that flood that is coming out of the dragon's mouth if we do not deal with the humanitarianism of our being that is infiltrating the business of God. Listen. Listen. Hallelujah. So Joshua, rose up early in the morning and brought all of Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken, and so forth and so on and so on. But let us go on here. Hallelujah. So God revealed the troublemaker. Huh? God revealed the troublemaker in the garden that had the endowment. Huh? That was supposed to be fruitful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, He revealed it not only as an individual, but he revealed it as to what it was that Achan did. Huh? And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against God, the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." It was like he, to me, in some respects, it may not be the way it was, but what I see in the Spirit is the wrapping of that Babylonish garment around that precious aspect of gold and silver and burying it in the earth. You want a new Testament analogy? Huh? The man with one talent. The man with one talent. There was a man with one. A man with five. A man with ten. What did the man with one do? "I knew that you were an austere man." Huh? "And I what? I took it and I buried it in the earth." What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing with the talent that God has given us? Are we burying it in our humanity? Are we digging in at our familiarities? In our position of national relationship and position, in the pride of what it is that we are as a people, and then in the place or the tribe that we are belonging to. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, my mother used to say, "You're an Asbil." Asbils act different than other people. Asbils have to be different than other people. You're an Asbil. As though Asbil was something, a preeminence that needed a podium on which to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, you know, we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. If I look at myself through the eyes of God, it's like God is saying, "Thou worm Jacob. Thy worm, Jack." You know, how much dignity does a worm have? Yeah, you see a worm. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, you know what we got going here? Oh boy, you're not going to like this one. What we got, well, thank you, I will. What we got here is prosperity. We have prosperity. We have the world. You know, the world at our fingertips. Huh? I think you were dealing with it the other night. Fashion. Huh?
fashion. You know, it's as bad for men as it is for women. We want to pick on the women, but it's as bad for men as it is for women. Huh? You know, it's always the male pheasant that is the one that has to look the prettiest. Huh? Puffed up and groomed and standing there and their clothes straight and smelling good, I hope. Huh? I'll tell you something. Men can be just as vain, if not more vain, than women. We like the gold around our necks, on our hands, on our arms. Huh? Hallelujah. When we read in John chapter 17, John chapter 17, there was a particular prayer that Jesus prayed that is now working for you. And part of the working is the word that God is bringing to you this morning. I pray, verse 15, John chapter 17, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What was it? What was it God told Joshua to tell the people? Sanctify yourselves. It wasn't one man. It was the whole congregation that had to sanctify themselves for the sin of one man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For their sakes, verse 19, I have sanctified myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You want somebody to be sanctified? Huh? You want your children to be sanctified? You want your brethren in the church to be sanctified? You have to sanctify yourself. It's not you sanctifying them. You have to sanctify yourself. Because in the spirit, in the aspect of your nature, you are as guilty of the propensity to do it as they are. Because, quite frankly, that is not yet dead. Paul said, I am bringing my body under subjection. Why? Least, at the end of the day, I what? Become a castaway. Or I become evidence of the position of transgression. I have to work on it every day. Oh boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we have a Babylonish garment. Huh? That's the world. That's the world. That's the world. Do you hear me? That is the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that, I'm not going to get into all of it, but I think what we are doing is enough. And Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent and behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. And they took them out. You know, silver is redemption. Gold is the nature of God. And it's all surrounded and shrouded by a Babylonish garment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when Belshazzar took the vessels from the temple, that were from the temple, out of his treasury, and began to desecrate them. The judgment of God came down not only upon Belshazzar, but upon his entire kingdom. The only man that got blessed out of all of that was Daniel. Why? Because Daniel was righteous. Daniel was righteous. Will you be righteous? Will you be counted righteous? Will I be counted righteous when the judgment hammer of God falls on humanity? And brother and sister, it is coming. It is coming. Get rid of the Babylonish garden. Get rid of the greed that you have for this or for that or for the position of prosperity and all that it entails. You need to go to God. I need to go to God. I need to determine, what do I have to do? How do I do it? And when do I do it? And you know what? God will tell you. God bless you.